That's okay. Philippians chapter number 3. Let's do something serious this morning. A couple years ago, we were here, and the mispronouncing the name just reminded me that about 3 years ago, I think we were here in this building, and I couldn't add in my message. So, yeah, I'm par for the course. Can't add, can't remember names, so we're doing okay. All right, Philippians chapter number 3, and starting verse number 1, and we'll get started this morning. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And that as we study this morning, that we will see that we have everything to rejoice in you about. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Again, my title this morning is Rejoicing in the Lord, and we're going to pick up where John left off last night and then move kind of on down the road, because the rest of the day, you might not have this, but I do because I got one in the mail and I held on to it for dear life. The 10:30 hour is going to be glorying in tribulation. This afternoon, rejoicing in grace. This evening, rejoicing in sonship. Tomorrow morning, rejoicing in hope, and then 10:30 to finish it, your furtherance and joy of the faith. And in order to be able to understand how you can glory in tribulation, how you can rejoice in grace, and how you can rejoice in sonship, you have to understand that you can rejoice in the Lord. And just as we were here in Philippians 3, Paul writes here, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You see, Paul understood that some of us are simpletons. I tell my folks, I'm a simple guy. And when we have Q&As, and someone will ask a question, and I'll say, how does right division answer your question? Because that's pretty simple, isn't it? Time passed, but now ages to come. You know, we get into discussion over there in John. I was talking with John about this last night, about where Jesus says, those that the Father give me, He's drawing them nigh to me. And, you know, and people like to claim that and say, see, that unsaved guy that came through, Jesus drew him into here. But you got to ask yourself a question, don't you? Where does John fit on time past, but now, and ages to come? It's simple, isn't it? It's so simple that what does religion do to it? Mess it up. You know, Paul says that that Satan was going to beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. And in that simplicity, that's what Paul's dealing with here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He's coming, you know, by the way, you notice it's chapter 3? He's halfway through the book, and what does he say? Finally. He's just giving them all this information, and he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And for me to go over this stuff with you guys again, not a problem. I'll spend all day with you. Because it's safe for you. How many times do you get tired of listening about time past, but now, and ages to come? I never do. Because why? Because that is the answer to all the questions that ever come up. You've got a question about prophecy. Well, where are we at? Are we over here or this and that? You know what? A little right division answers the prophecy question like that. But notice Paul. Notice what he says here. Beware of dogs because of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship Christ in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The Apostle Paul wants you to understand that in order for you to rejoice in the Lord, you have to understand that you will never have confidence in the flesh. And what you have here in verses 4 and following isn't the flesh like that old man out there sinning, but it's talking about religion. He's talking about getting away from right division. Notice verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Over there in Galatians 1, Paul says, I profited in the Jews' religion above mine equals. He was wealthy. But then when he was converted on the road to Damascus and gets the secret information revealed to him, what did he do to it? He lost it all. It's all gone. And he says, hey, we can rejoice in the Lord. Because we have no confidence in the flesh. Paul understood that his identity no longer resided in who he was in the old man. That it was now his identity was in who he was in the new man. In the new creature. In this brand spanking new that's going on here. And I would try to close that, but it might fall, so we'll leave it open. If you close that up, and you begin to understand that Paul understood that his identity resided in who he is in Christ, not in a religious system, not in what grandma told me as I was growing up, not in any of the questions out there, but it was in who he was in Christ. And that's what he's trying to get to the Philippians here. Rejoice in the Lord. Remember who you are. Your identity. Go back over with me to Titus 3. Titus chapter 3. If you visit our website for Southwest, you'll see that it's been redone. And on there, Nick wrote some stuff on there about why we study. And I tell you what, when we get together, we run verses. And we run them quickly and we run them fast. And then we go, we got to breathe. And then we go, and go again. Why? Because that's what it's about, isn't it? You know, if I showed up the way I really wanted to show up this morning, I'd have been in shorts and in a t-shirt and in gym shoes. Okay? But you know, why do we get together? To study. Titus chapter 3. Notice verse number 3. Remember something about who you were. And this really gets back to what John was talking about last night. Verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish. Disobedient. Have you ever been disobedient? Have you ever just disobeyed? Just a little? Okay? You know, I got a flat spot on the back of my head back here from when I was little from the disobedience. Okay? Disobedient. Deceived. Serving. Divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envying, hateful and hating one another. You see, that's where you once were, that verse says. For we ourselves also were sometimes. We were once that way, weren't we? But guess what happened? The next verse. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Hey, what does Romans 5:8 say? But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, folks, in time past back here, we saw it last night, you were called what? Uncircumcised. You were without hope, without Christ, aliens. You know what you were? A Gentile dog. As my sons learn in Sunday school. You were nothing. You were foolish, disobedient. Look over at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I guess I should have told you what I was going to do to you, and that was I was going to drag you back and then show you why you need to rejoice in the Lord. Okay? Look at Ephesians 2. By the way, Don, Doug's got your keys to the van. He's sitting right there. Okay? Ephesians 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see your condition? You're quickened. You're made alive. That were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature as the children of wrath, even as others. Listen, folks, you know what Satan, you know Satan worries about you? You know how much he worries about you? This little bit. You know why? Because he's got what is called the course of the world to let you run in. See, before you were saved, you thought you were doing just fine, didn't you? Until someone said, look, buddy, you're a sinner. And you need a Savior. You know, we go to the swap meet at church. And we talk to people all the time. But until they understand what? That they're lost, they'll never understand their need for a Savior. We have a big poster, a banner. It says, eternity, smoking or non, with a question mark. Okay? I saw that on a track one time and said, you know what? I like that. Eternity. Until you understand that you are lost, then you'll never understand that you need a Savior. So, in the time past, you were children of disobedience. You were children of wrath, the verse says. You're verse 11, 12 over there, no hope and without God in the world. You were pretty sorry, weren't you? But notice verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. You see, there was a plan in motion, wasn't there? It's called the secret. Time passed back here. The Gentiles are cut off. They're down here on the bottom. They're just Romans 1. We won't go over there this morning, but Romans 1. God gave them up to a reprobate. He just gives them up, lets them run. What begins to happen is then there this issue of the cross comes into play with the revelation of the mystery for us Gentiles. You see, we have no hope. We're without Christ in the world. We're children of disobedience. We don't have a very wonderful legacy as a Gentile. You know, you hear about the presidents, and they're all worried about their legacy. What's history going to say about President so-and-so? Well, what's history say about a Gentile? Not too good, is it? Go back to Romans 1. Actually, you know what? Go back to Job 9. And on the way, stop at Psalms 39 and Ecclesiastes 7. Psalms 39. Let Job 9 ride for a minute. Psalms 39. And look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You guys do know where Ecclesiastes is? You know, it's like Obadiah. We were talking about Obadiah in the ride over about going to Obadiah. You know, Obadiah looking at you in heaven said, "You did read my book, didn't you?" And someone saying, "You wrote a book? What book was that?" Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Psalms 39. Look at Psalms 39, verse number 5. Here's your legacy as a Gentile. Psalms 39, 5. "Behold, Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before Thee." Now notice, "Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity." You know, vanity, emptiness. You know, you get up in the morning. See, I get blamed for having the perfect hair. You know, you get up and you blow dry it and you hairspray it and you do all that stuff. You get up and you get dressed and you get... And you know what? You know what God says? It's vanity. When you look your best, it's just empty. There's nothing there. Vanity. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's real. It's real. Your legacy as a Gentile is it's vanity. Nothing. Look at Ecclesiastes 7. Look at verse number 20. And get Job number 9, chapter 9. We saw last night with John. That's why I said we're going to pick up where John left off. Job 9, verse number 2. "I know it is of a truth, but how should man be justified with God?" Job 9, 2. Hey, I tell you what, when the next time someone knocks on your door and wants to talk to you about their religion, ask them that question. Don't debate about who Muhammad is or Joseph Smith is or who this guy is or that guy is. We got another sign, by the way, at the swap meet. It says, "Who is your apostle?" Question mark. We had literally had someone think we were talking about Joseph Smith. So then you get to debate those guys. But instead of debating with them, instead of running the rabbit trails with them, ask them, "How does a man be just with God?" And then listen to them. And you know where they're going to run you? Works. Works, 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 works. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 20. "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." You know what that tells me? You know what the Word of God tells me? Is that when I'm in my best state, I'm altogether what? Vanity. When I'm doing the best that I think I'm able to do, there's not a just man on the earth. Now that's Ecclesiastes. You know the Song of Solomon? Wisest man, he's out there in the world. He's out in the world running through human wisdom, and he says, "You know what? There's not a just man out here. It's all vanity." And see, that's our legacy as a Gentile. We have no we're empty. There's nothing to us. Go back with me to Romans 1. We'll just take a few minutes and look at this. Because you need to understand that before you can rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in your completeness and who He has made you in Christ. I like that last line of Colossians 2:20. Wait, I'm complete in Him. You need to understand where you came from. Now, for some of us, that's pretty easy. And for some of us, that's why I love that in Paul in Philippians 3 says, for me to say it again to you is not grievous, but for you it's safe. In Romans 11, when he talks about being wise in your own conceits, you ever get a big head about something? Never. Okay? Oh, I do. I'll just tell you, I'm the best appraiser there is in Arizona until I get that call back from that underwriter that just rips my report to shreds. Then I go, well, wait a minute. Maybe I better back up. Or you go to take a class and the instructor's telling you everything that you've been doing is wrong. Okay, maybe I better back up. But no, what if you're wise in your own conceit? Because we think we're what? Somebody. Okay? Look at Romans 1. Look at verse number 21. Because that when they, the Gentiles, knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Romans 1:21. Is everybody there? Okay? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see what happened at the Tower of Babel? They weren't what? Thankful to God. They went off on their own wisdom. Verse number 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, in the middle of the verse, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Do you think that God judged the Gentiles? He gave them up, didn't He? He quit dealing with them. One of the worst judgments God could ever do to a Gentile was just to let them go. You know, this is Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. You know what happens in Genesis 12? Oh, Abraham shows on the scene. And God takes His attention and turns from the Gentile nations to a nation. And begins to form the nation of Israel and begins to use Israel as their instrument. And you know what happened to that Gentile? You go over there in Genesis and you read where the circumcision issue is. And if you're on the wrong wall of partition, you know what you are? You are cut off. That's a tough place to be. Without hope, without God, aliens from the commonwealth. You have nothing. That's your legacy as a Gentile. Everybody says, amen. Right? That's not good news, is it? That's tough news. Look over at chapter 3. Of Romans, chapter 3. We'll get better news here in a minute. We're getting there. Okay? Easy, Ted. Okay? Look at chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. What then? Paul anticipates questions, doesn't he? All through the book of Romans. What then? Are we better than they? Now, the we here is Israel, the Jew. Back up in verse number 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? See, Paul was who? A Hebrew of the Hebrew? A Pharisee of the... He was a Jew, wasn't he? And he says, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before... Notice that next word. Proved. Do you know what you do in geometry class? I was lousy at geometry. You get the problem, you have to do what with the problem? Prove it. You know how Paul proved that both the Jew and the Gentile are sinners? The Word of God. That's how he proved it. And he proved that they are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Hey folks, that's Psalms 39. We're going back in Psalms. He goes back there in the Psalms and says, see, look, there's not a just man on earth. You're all sinners. Woohoo! There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Does that sound like a good group to be associated with? By the way, all that list, you know what that is? That's inner man stuff. That's character issues. And as a Gentile, there's none righteous, there's none that understand, there's none that seeketh. I mean, you're just flat out. There's nothing good about you. You're a dog. But notice the next verse, 19. Now, we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That verse tells you why God gave the law. Not only for Israel to learn and to grow, but so that all the world would be, what? Guilty. All the world. You know what that included? You as a Gentile. That under the law, you were guilty. So that when His Son dies on Calvary's tree, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. How would you as a Gentile ever know that you're a sinner? Unless you had God's law say what? You're a sinner. Verse 21, but now. You got to like that. What did we do? We just moved from time past, as a Gentile with no hope, with nothing going on, there was nothing good about you. Could you imagine? You're back in time past, you're in Abraham's day, and you're king, whatever, over there, and you got all the riches in the world. And some prophet comes up and says, you know what? You're just nothing but a Gentile dog. What would you do to that guy? Oh, come on in, sit down, have a pizza with me. Or no, you'd be a little upset, wouldn't you? But that's what they were. That's what you were. That's who you were, I should say. But notice verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now where are we operating at? You remember last night? A difference? Now we have no difference. Now us, oh Gentiles, we got a little chance, don't we? Hold on to here. Back there in Ephesians 2. Verse number 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, we have a chance, don't we? We have this wonderful opportunity now, don't we? And that's to be able to say, you know what, I'm no longer a Gentile dog, but I'm a saint of the Most High. And when you begin to understand, like what John was talking about last night, about the glorying in the cross and what the cross means to you, you know what begins to happen? You go, you know what? I don't want to be like that guy back there. Because that guy back there was disobedient and foolish and children of wrath and children of... That was a bad dude to be. I want to be, as Paul said over there in Philippians 3, we'll get to it in a minute, he goes, I want to know you more and more. I want to move on. Back in Romans 3, he goes on, being verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look, folks, we're no longer. You're guilty. You're a sinner. You had no hope. You were cut off. But now, you're justified by who? By Jesus Christ. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But now you're justified by God's grace. Now, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith without what? The deeds of the law. You know what? You couldn't do it before. Jesus Christ says, I did it for you. And he stands there through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul and he says, because of the but now, the change in the dispensation of grace and the interruption of the law, now you can do what? Rejoice in the Lord. Because back here you couldn't rejoice in the Lord. You know why? Because you were cut off. You had nothing going on for you. But now, if you're in my Son, if you're in Christ, you can do what? Rejoice in the Lord. Because without being able to, without being in Christ, you know where you're at? You're still back over there. Dad was talking about a track one time on a tape about five things that happen to you if you miss the rapture. Number one, you were going to hell anyway. And the other ones, on the tape, you never told what the rest of them were. But that's the condition. If you missed the rapture today, you know what? You were going to hell if you died. But now, you're justified. Now, you're redeemed. Now, you're in, go over to chapter 4 of Romans. Now, you're justified. Now, you've become a family, a member of the family of God. Chapter 5, let's just let 4 be. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. Don't forget that, folks. It's not your works. It's not you trying to do something. It's by faith. Chapter 4, verse number 5 tells you, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith is not a work. Your faith is faith. It's what, you know, duh, I'm a simpleton. You know, keep it simple, stupid. That's where we're at. Notice verse 5 again. Verse 1, chapter 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you have peace with God? Where is it? It's in Him, isn't it? Chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. You know what? In chapter 1:18, the wrath is revealed. You know what happens between 1:18 and 5:1? It's called the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 3. And in Him only, do you have peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful understanding? Yes? Amen? Woohoo! Run around, let's get excited. Why? Because how many of us have heard people say, you know what, God's just trying to teach me a lesson today. God's doing this and He's jerking me, He's pulling me over here. And you know what, you can step back there and say, wait, I have peace with God. You know, when you begin to understand that when you live in the dispensation of grace, by the way, you know what this D-O-G, dog, dispensation of grace? It's interesting. When you live in the dispensation of grace, you have peace with God. That means when you walk out here and Don tries to start the van and it doesn't start, that God didn't reach down and clip something to teach you humility. Next hour, you're going to glorying in tribulation? Romans 5? Hey, you know, God didn't do that, did He? You know what did that? The car just broke. It just flat out wore out. You come out there and live in Arizona and you let a car sit long enough and you go put the key in and turn the ignition, you know what's going to happen? Every hose in your vehicle is going to go and it's going to be gone. Why? Because the sun and the heat and the dry rot sets in. And if the hoses don't get it, the tires sure do. I can attest to that. Okay? But what do you have? You have peace with God. Why? Because we're in the but now. If you're back over here in the time past or in the ages to come, if you think we're out here and we're going through the tribulation and this is where we're at, guess what line of the wall you're on as a Gentile? You're the wrong side looking back in. Because you know what happens? I hope sometimes you take Hebrews through Revelation and just read them. Do you know where the Gentile is in Hebrews through Revelation? He's not there. Hebrews, Jews, James 1:1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. 1 Peter, who was Peter the apostle to? Circumcision. You're not there. Now you're mentioned in Revelation, we've kind of talked about, but guess what? The focus of the books are to who? The Jews. So now we're back under a distinction. Now I'm down here again. I'm in trouble again. But notice, you have peace with God where? Right? Is that something to rejoice about, by the way? Amen. Thank you. Amen. Look over with me, if you will, to chapter 6. Just keep going, kind of walk down through Romans here. Chapter 6 of Romans. Chapter 6 and verse number 3, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin, live any longer therein? You see, you've had an identity change, haven't you? In chapter 3. You've had an identity change. Now you are dead to sin, but now you're what? Alive unto God. Verse 3. Know ye not? I love this. You've got to enjoy Romans 6. Paul, if I didn't know better, Paul was a little sarcastic here with you. Don't you know that your identity is in Christ? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Now that baptism isn't the baptismal back there in the water. What's he talking about? That's the spiritual issues, right? We are a heavenly people. We're going to reign and live with Him in heavenly places. We're nothing about this terra firma. Terra firma. That stuff. We're what? A heavenly place, people. We're a spiritual place. Our baptism is a spiritual baptism. And you know what Paul sits there and goes, what are you, dumb? Don't you know this yet? Don't you know that your identity now is in Christ? Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Have you read over there in Philippians where He says, hey, you're gonna receive your new body is going to be fashioned like His glorious body? You ever study what His glorious body was? He can go from earth to heaven and back and forth. See, you get a new body, but it's not going to be the same kind of makeup. It's going to be something different. Isn't that something to rejoice in, to get a new body? Yeah. Especially in the humidity and the knees start to ache. Verse 6, knowing this, that our, what? Old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Go over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I say all this to get to this point, and I got 20 minutes. Folks, in time past, you didn't have a shot. You were aliens. You were without hope, without Christ. On the road to Damascus, God speaks to Paul, and He changes the program, and He introduces the dispensation of grace through the Apostle Paul right on the road to Damascus. Right off the bat, gives him information. And then He turns and He says over there in Ephesians 3, when He says, hey, I write this stuff to you. It was given to me and I give it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, you see an interesting passage here. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You see, when the Lord talked to Paul on the road to Damascus, you know what one of the first things He gave him was the gospel information. Go read Acts 26 over there. Go read. Not only did He give him time past but now ages to come as a quick shot, this is why they're not going to receive you in Jerusalem. But He says, here's the gospel. That the love of Christ constrains you, that if we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You see, folks, He died for you because you were what? Dead. You were dead spiritually speaking. But God commended His love toward us, and not while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For when we were ungodly, when we were weak and ungodly and without strength, what did He do? Romans 5. He died for you. He took care of that. And see, we don't get that until we come to who? Paul. Paul says, here it is. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Here it is, folks. And when he begins to lay it out, he goes on down. Now notice in verse 14, because we thus judge. That word judge is an interesting word. That's not a judge in a courtroom. That's the way you think about it. We're going to think about something now. That, and, verse 15, that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You see, when Christ died for you, and you trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone, you know what He saved you from? He saved you from hell. But He saved you into something else, didn't He? He got you. Fire insurance is pretty good, okay? But you know what? Not only did He save you from hell, but He put you into the body of Christ. He put you into what He's going to be doing now. You see, it's interesting when you talk about the will of God, and people, oh, what's the will of God? And they write big books and everything. You know what the will of God for you in your life is? Go do what He's doing today. What is He doing today? He's forming the body of Christ. So guess what? Now, I just saved you $500 at the next seminar. Okay? What's God doing today? Forming the body of Christ. And what do I need to go do? What God's doing. So how do I form the body of Christ? Or help form it? I see that all men get saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Got two issues. That they get saved and come to truth. When we're at the swap meet, you know what the two issues that we deal with right off the bat? Are you saved? And do you know the truth? We try not to go down all the rabbit trails. It's kind of hard with people. Are they saved? Or do they know the truth? When we hear someone give us a testimony of salvation, you know what we ask them? We point to that sign that says, who is your apostle? Say, do you know that guy? Who is that? And you know what we get? The 12. We get that a lot, don't we? The 12. But they don't know. Jesus is my apostle. They have no clue. What do we have here? That we should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You see, your focus is to shift now, isn't it? From you to Him. Your status, your identity in Christ has changed, hasn't it? Not in Christ, your identity has changed. It went from you to in Him. It went from moving out of, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to be a good guy, I'm going to give 15% in the offering box, I'm going to work, and you know what? God says, thanks for playing, but that's not the game today. The game today is let me show you what I've done for you and given to you and made available to you. And that's My Son on a cruel cross where He died for you. And you know what we sit there? Nah, that's too easy. We don't want that. I got to do something. Come on, preacher, tell me something to do. And we say, what? Believe. Just rest. Knock it off. And what do they? Nah, that's too easy. And then one day the old light bulb goes on, right? And what do? They believe. And then they sit there and they go, if I had only known back over here. We have a lady in our assembly. She's a young lady. She's been in the Baptist denominations for 70-some years. She's a young lady. She found right division through her family. And one night we were sitting there and in our Q&A and we were having a little testimony time and she said, why doesn't anybody show me this 70 years ago? 50 years ago. Why? Talking about right division. She came to me and she goes, Rick, I got a problem. She said, I have a question. I don't know if I'm saved. Because of what you're talking about, how salvation works, I never did that back there. I was baptized. I did what the program said, but I don't know. So we begin to talk, and she says, "Okay, I'm going to study it." I said, "Okay." She came back. She goes, "You know what? That question I had for you, don't worry about it. It's settled." I'm like, "Well, praise the Lord." But here's a lady. You know what she saw? She saw right division. But you know what she really saw? She saw what the cross of Christ really did for her. And she rejoiced in it. And she got excited. And you know what? She hasn't missed a service since except for when she was sick. She's just soaking it up. You know why? Because she was over here where they said, do, 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 do. And then I come along and say, just relax. He did it for you. And you know what we do? We rejoice in the Lord. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Behold, all things are become... I'm sorry, behold, all old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. You know what, folks? When you pass from death to life, and you have a new identity, therefore, if any man be in where? Christ, he's a new creature. Does that verse say that you lose the old man over here? It does not say that, does it? You know, in Ephesians 1 and in Colossians over there, he tells you to put off who? The old man. You know what that tells me? That as a saved man, as a member of the family of the household of God, as a member of the body of Christ, I'm going to have trouble with what? That old man. So, you know what just went out the window? The wonderful little thought that's floating around there that once you get saved, you never sin again. And guess what? Thanks for playing. There's the door. You know why? Because Paul repeatedly tells you to do what? Put him off and then put on who? The new man. Where's the new man? If you're in Christ, you have what? The new man. Your identity is now in Him. You've left that. Now, by the way, does this guy like to flare up every now and then? Yeah. Okay. Yes, back there on the back row. Yes. Okay. You know why? We did a study about the two natures of a believer. And you know what that old man is? He's your flesh. And you know what? There's a war going on, Romans 7. There's a battle going on between the two. And you know who wins? Whoever you feed. If you feed that old man, you know what he's going to do? He's going to win. If you feed the new man, you know what he's going to do? He's going to win. How do you feed the old man? Walk according to the course of the world. Just go back and do what you were doing before you got saved. How do you feed the new man? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided. You want to feed the new man? Study. Romans chapter number 12. Look at Romans 12. By the way, this is rejoicing. Okay? Romans 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Never read that and miss that word reasonable. Because you know what sometimes happens when we're looking for service? We do what's not reasonable, don't we? We do more or we do less. What's reasonable? Now look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, okay? So let's not be conformed to this. Let's not feed the old man. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you not to be conformed to this world? You're to do what? Renew your mind. You're to rejoice in the Lord. You're to rejoice in that you are complete in Him. You're to rejoice in 2 Corinthians 9 over there where He says He's made you and He's given you all grace and all things and all sufficiencies. You should be rejoicing in Ephesians 1:3 when it says you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. You should be rejoicing that you're accepted in the Beloved in Ephesians 1 and that you're made a member of the, you know, accepted in the Beloved. What were you before you were loved? You were an enemy. Now you're loved. You should be rejoicing in the completeness that He's made you in His Son. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's something new going on. You want to glory in tribulation? Rejoice in who you are. You want to rejoice in your sonship? Oh, wow. Your sonship status? Sitting at the table as an adult, not as a child? Paul over there, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I grew up, I started talking like a grown-up, didn't I? Why? What happened? You grow up. The moment of your salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Now, we're way off the notes, but that's okay. Ephesians chapter number 1. Notice, if you will, here in verse 13 and 14. You're to rejoice, folks. You're to rejoice that you're complete in Him. You're to rejoice that you're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. You know that you're an heir of God? And you know what we say? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That a boy. No, hey, get it good. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know what a joint heir is? That means whatever He's getting, I get the same. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, get it. You got. Oh, yeah, the boy. You know? You do more cheering at the ball game. Okay, well, now we got the front row going. But honestly, folks, think about that. That's what we do, isn't it? Rejoice. Be thankful. Get excited about some things. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom? Christ. Ye also trusted. Where did you trust? Christ. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now notice the process there. It's in reverse order, isn't it? Or it's in an order. You trusted. How did you trust? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear the Word. When we're at the swap meet, you know what we're telling people when it's time, when we talk to them about salvation? We're not talking about walking the golden road and doing this and joining our church and doing that. You know what we're talking about? Romans 3, that they're sinners. Romans 2, I mean, walk them right down through Romans. Why? Because they won't get saved unless they're what? Lost. Sinners. You got to be that first before you can understand you need a Savior, right? Hey, so this what this verse does for me is when you deal with that wonderful Calvinist, is what this verse does for me. That, you know what, you heard the Word. You believe the Word. Notice it says the Word of truth. Over there in 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says that you received the Word of God not as it was the Word of men, but in truth, the Word of God, which you believe. I just messed it up. I do that, you know. Okay, rewind. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You hear the gospel, what do? You believe it. At that moment of believing what the word, the gospel of your salvation, we saw last night. It's the what? The power of God. It's the might of God. Ye were sealed. Now, doesn't with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, folks, when you got saved and you're baptized into the body of Christ, spiritual baptism, you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? You're not getting out of it. That's rejoicing. That's Romans 5, your eternal security passage. When things go wrong in your life, you know what you can say? I have what? Peace with God. When things go right in your life, you know what you can say? I have peace with God. I had a gentleman in my business. I come to find out he was, go over to Ephesians 2. He was a believer in one of the mega churches there. He was genuinely a believer. And he told me that he'd been praying for his business. And it's been prospering and growing and growing. And so he started tithing and it's getting even bigger. And I said, that's wonderful. What do? I'm a realtor. Well, if you know anything about the Phoenix metro area real estate market, it's had an appreciation rate of over 50%. So I just started laughing. I said, well, I'm an appraiser and I know better. I know what's going on. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, your prosperity is because of the guys from California coming over here buying the houses. The investors. God had nothing to do with it. Boy, he didn't like me after that. He hasn't returned my phone calls, actually. You know why? Because he doesn't understand what? He's complete in Christ. He's not. He doesn't understand what? Right division. You see how easy this is? Like Dad said, if I can get it, you can get it. Okay? Look at Ephesians 2. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're complete in Him. Verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's your home? Heavenly places. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created where? In Him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Rejoice, folks. Get a little excited. Woo! You know what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5? He says, rejoice evermore. One more verse. Colossians. Colossians 2. You see, folks, your identity is in Him. And your identity is in Him, and it's that's where it's at. It really isn't. It isn't something mythical. It isn't something spooky. It's in Him. Look, notice Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Christ? Did you work for it? No, you just what? Believed Him. Right? You believe. Faith. Rooted and built up in Him. By the way, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That word issue of walking, living your life. How did you receive Christ? You just believed Him. So you know what Paul tells you? Go out there and live your life circumspectly as what? Wise and not as fools. Walk as who you are in Christ. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Live your lives in who in your identity. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Folks, your identity resides in Christ. It's complete. It's a sealed deal. You'll never lose it. Thank you. Okay? And you know what you're to say? Thank you. You're to rejoice in the Lord. You're to rejoice evermore because you know where you were in time past. We saw that. We're trouble. We know where we're at out here in the ages to come. We're in trouble again. But right here, in the dispensation of grace, in the dog, you know what? We're complete in Him. We're sealed in Him. We're seated in heavenly places in Him. We're made heirs and joint heirs with Him. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've got it all. Thank you, Jesus. No, amen. Thank you. Amen. Rejoice. I know it's 10 o'clock and time to quit. We've been here since... I've been up since 6:30 this morning. Okay? Okay? That's where it is. You know why you rejoice in the Lord? Because of who He's made you in His Son. That's why. Your identity is in Him. What God has done and given to you because of the completed work of Calvary. That's why you rejoice. That's why you say thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And above all, we thank You for Your Son, that He died on Calvary's tree, and that through Your mercy and Your grace and long-suffering, You made that available to us without strings attached. And we'll just give You the praise and the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.